here. Hope you're in good health, and hope that you are healthy both spiritually as well as physically. We assemble, of course, this second time in the evening because of the love that we have for our God. I hope to be encouraged by His Word, by each other's presence, by the songs that we sing. So we thank you, each and every one, for participating in that. Truly, it makes a difference in the lives of each and every one who is here. We have been studying, of course, on Sunday nights, the very skillful presentation of the gospel is found in this book called Muscle and a Shovel. Only this morning, thanks to, and I can't remember who told me about it first, this little free library thing. It might have been Lee. It might have been Carol. I'm not sure which one actually told me about it last week first. But moments ago, I was talking to Lee, and she had a little free library or free little library. I'm not sure which way it goes. But one of those little library boxes we talked about this morning in Coburg. And then the one I showed you pictures of this morning is only about 2-3 blocks away over here on Forrester. The copy that Don and Lee had put in their little library, they checked and within 24 hours was gone. I checked this afternoon and within 24 hours the one I put there is gone too. So both of those are in circulation, we hope. If you have a little free library somewhere in your neighborhood, I'd highly recommend you think about placing one of the books. Now, you can go online if you like, and they actually have a map of the various locations. There are 11 in Eugene, and I believe 3 or 4 that would be on this side of the river from Eugene proper, and then, of course, one up there in Coburg. So just seize every opportunity that you can, brother, to present the gospel every way that you can. And one of the most effective ways that I have ever seen, I've said repeatedly, the most effective way I've ever seen, is the manner in which Randall Edges presented the gospel to Michael Schenck, who is the author of this book. It's simply the telling of the story of how one man led another to Christ. We've been going through chapter by chapter then, training ourselves to be as effective as Randall was, and we've come now to chapter 16, which I put in the smaller letters the word setup. It is Michael Schenck's manner to several times, fairly frequently in fact. He'll have an entire chapter, usually a very short one, that just tells the story of an event that took place, and then he sets up for a longer discussion that is an actual doctrinal or scriptural discussion of whatever topic it was he had set up. So chapter 16 is one of those, as I've said so many times now, I'm really expecting you to do the reading on that. I don't want to rehearse the circumstances that brought it up. But what we'll be talking about in chapter 16, as you see on the screen, is this argument that Acts 2:38 does not mean what it says in every translation that it has ever appeared in, but rather should have been translated a way that it never has been, which is in place of the word for, to put the words because of. Now this is what your title page will look like if you have page 126 and 127 facing right there. Just zoom in just so you see my notes on page 127. It's entitled Hot Rains and Aggravation. It's New Year's, 1988, when the events unfolded here. But again, what this is, and so I suggest you write on your title page, just remind you as you do in future study, the word for, so I put in italics, in Acts 2:38 should be translated because of. And then a parenthesis I put, and this is really very important, I hope everybody will make this note. This is actually answered, or also answered, in chapter 21 on pages 184 through 188. The real answer to this setup is on pages 184 through 188. So tonight, we're going to look a little bit in chapter 16, and then we're going to skip over to chapter 21, and we'll deal with this tonight there. This is where it's introduced. Let's go ahead and deal with it. Then we'll come back. We'll look maybe at chapter 17 also this evening. So if you will, then, turn to pages 184 through 189. Hold on just a second here. Now then, pardon me again, getting ahead of myself, I mentioned page 184, but come back, let's do get just the tiniest little bit of the setup on pages 130 and 131, pages 130 and 131 now. At the very bottom, you have a blank line, and then it begins with a paragraph that says a few hours later. Let's start there on page 130. A few hours later, the hot wings were gone, the game was boring. I looked over at Larry, certainly not me, of course, and he was half asleep. Hey, I jolted him from his semi-conscious state. I talked to my cousin on the phone the other day. It was about Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then, skipping the next part, but going over the top of page 131, she said that the word for in the verse means because of. I lobbed the statement over in his direction with no particular objective, you know, in mind. So at this point, you should say, well, I heard this, you know, I haven't thought about it, but you wanted to throw that out. So if you'll turn down to page 132, now at 132 in the second paragraph, Mike, I'm going to look at the original Greek. Your cousin's premise makes no sense, but I know, and he's chiding him in good nature here, you Baptists will try anything to get out of being baptized for the Bible reason. So she's a Presbyterian, I corrected, you know, they laughed. But skip down two more paragraphs there where it says, but Larry, just about the middle of the text. But Larry, think about it. If we're saved at the point of belief, and then we're baptized because our sins are already gone, baptism would be an outward sign of an inward change. Now, he does not talk about this here, and I can't remember now, I've read the book several times, but I can't remember if he ever talks about it at another location. So I just wanted everybody to know for your own edification, that phrase, outward sign of an inward change, that is not just something that he made up on the spur of the moment. In the last 100 years or so, I'm not sure when, the Baptist Church had published a manual by a man named Hiscox, H-I-S-C-O-X. Hiscox Standard Manual for Baptist Churches is the official title of this book. Hiscox Standard Manual for Baptist Churches. In the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches, the organizing, you know, instrument for Baptist churches, those that sign on at least for this particular brand of Baptist churches, this phrase will be found. Now, in my move, I've mislaid my copy of the Standard Manual. I was going to make a photocopy and turn the page here, but I can't find it, you know, and so I have to do that for you later. But if I remember correctly, the phrase in the Baptist manual is not that baptism is the outward sign of an inward change. I think he was just paraphrasing a little there. But again, I'll have to get the quote. I think what they said was, it is the outward sign of an inward grace. But either way, they've got exactly the same idea. The Baptist Church, through the Standard Manual, came up with the idea that baptism is not for the forgiveness of sins, despite the fact that Acts 2:38 says so. And then they invented something that the Bible says no hint about anywhere, that what baptism is a symbol or outward sign of something that has already taken place inside you. So the phrase, outward sign of an inward grace or outward sign of an inward change, was born in the Baptist manual to argue that what happens when you get in the water is only the outward sign of a salvation that has already taken place. So be aware of that. In the Baptist church today, because they're not tied to the Bible, they're changing constantly, their manuals and the kinds of organizing instruments that they have are not subject to the Bible, they're changing, then you'll find, as we have already, that things they teach today are not necessarily the things they taught 25 years ago. It's been quite a while since I've heard this phrase, outward sign of an inward grace, or outward sign of an inward change. The Baptists and many other churches picked up that phrase. They really liked it. Sounds great. Used to hear it a lot. Has anybody heard it recently in your studies with anybody? Have you heard it?
Calvary
Chapels using that phrase. Yeah, it really caught on. But its origin is in the Baptist Church in the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches. And why I'm not hearing it, you know, maybe just, I'm not doing enough work out there. I need to meet more people. But anyway, you know, that is a sort of an invention of theirs in particular. So when he quoted that, he was quoting something, and I don't know if he even realized it at the time, that he would have heard in years gone by in the Baptist churches as just a phrase that they use all the time. But carried within it is the idea that baptism comes after the fact, comes after you're saved, comes after your sins are forgiven, has nothing to do with your sins being forgiven. So now then, please, everybody, to page 184. Chapter 21, is in fact entitled Muscle and a Shovel, and that because you'll get the actual explanation of why the book is called what it is at the very end of this chapter. But if you'll turn now to page 184, and down at the bottom there, about the second or third paragraph up from the bottom, I guess, starts with Mike. Mike, your cousin said, remember the chapter 16, that the word for in Acts 2.38 meant because of, right? And, yeah, that's what she said. I replied, next paragraph. Bottom paragraph. She's wrong, Larry said, as he opened the folder of papers. It doesn't mean that at all. Now, that's pretty blunt. That's pretty strong. And I hope, brethren, that you, too, will have that sort of courage. It is very blunt. It is very strong. They just made it up. There's nothing in the Bible like this. It's just a fabrication. If somebody came up with this idea that Acts 2.38 doesn't mean what it says. Now, Acts 2.38 was read tonight a little while ago by Frank. You'll find it on page 185 as well. On page 185, look at the most indented paragraph in the italics. Here it is. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, reading next paragraph, now Larry began, your cousin alleges that the preposition for in the phrase for the remission of sins means because of. If that were true, the verse should read, Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I nodded. Larry continued. On the surface, it seems to make sense because we English speakers today use interchangeably. We use because of with the word for in the English language. Right, I agree. But Mike, the original Greek word in Acts 2.38, for, is the Greek word EIS, three letters, Larry said as he pointed toward his Bible. It's pronounced ice. Well, it's pronounced ice depending on who you talk to. It might be pronounced ace. Some people say ace. But, you know, however it's pronounced, the Greek word only has three letters, and they would look like our E, I, and S. So wait a minute, I interrupted. How do you know this stuff? Now, this is important. Look at the very bottom of the paragraph on 185. I went over to Lipscomb University's Greek department and had a long discussion with one of their Greek professors. He replied, as if to say, touche. Okay? Please understand, brethren, that when somebody comes up and says to you, the Greek means this and ought to be translated like that, that you really need to stop and ask them, why did you say that? Where did you get this idea? Who told you that? Okay? You can't just go, oh, is that right? And they, on the receiving end of this, have heard this all their lives. You know, baptism is the outward sign of inward grace. It doesn't mean for the remission of sins. It means because of the remission of sins. They're not asking, is that so? Why do you think that is so? Why would you translate? Does any Bible translation translate it that way? They're not asking their own people that question. Now, I'll tell you one of the reasons I so love this book is because so many times I'm reading in here something that happened to me. Happened, you know, just almost exactly to me. In the second year, I think it was, that I was a Christian, it might not have even been completion of the full first year. But somewhere at the end of the first year, second year after I became a Christian, I moved to Colorado. And it had become my habit to go around the various churches, look for the most authoritative, knowledgeable person I could find, and ask them various Bible questions. I was just a seeker and searching. I was already a Christian, but I was interested in what other churches taught. I wanted to find out why they were doing what they were doing. So in this case, I went into a very large Baptist church. I'd estimate they had seating in there for 600 or 700 people. There were probably 500 plus easily that were in attendance on this particular Sunday morning. I listened to a Baptist preacher in 1974 present a lesson on baptism by a complete accident. I just happened to use them that morning, and I walked into their building, and he preached absolutely everything that you and I believe on the topic of baptism. He never varied a syllable from what the scriptures say in every particular. I have learned in my first year or two as a Christian that baptism, you know, was not believed by Baptists to mean or teach in the Scriptures what you and I understand it to mean. And I sat there enthralled and amazed. Without a variation, this Baptist preacher taught absolutely everything that I've taught for the last 40 years and that you believe and teach. So, I'm amazed. You're not supposed to do this. Then, he gives his invitation. A young boy, maybe 12 years old, responded to his invitation. The boy walked up, he spoke with this preacher for a little while, and I'm sitting in the audience with 500 other folks, and then the preacher comes back to the microphone, and he says, since this young man was saved some weeks or months ago, I forget how long ago, he has now decided that he wants to be baptized so he can become a member of the Baptist Church. And my God, this is the floor. He has preached word for word what the Bible says. And then somebody steps up to be baptized and he destroyed word for word everything the Bible says with a couple of sentences. The Bible does not teach that you're saved first and then you should be baptized. The Bible does not teach that you use baptism to get into a Baptist church. It doesn't teach anything like that. And he had not taught anything like that. So I was more than a little intrigued. When they were done with their baptism, the entire assembly was over, I stationed myself in the foyer and I waited for that preacher to get done talking, going, you know, hi. So finally he comes to me. And I said, I'm really surprised because it sounds to me like you taught one thing and then you practiced something totally different. He said, well, let's have lunch together. Great. So I went out and had lunch with a Baptist preacher that day. Then we talked and we talked and we talked. And it all came down to this. He said, if you will just go and look at the Greek language, you will find out that the three letters E-I-S, pronounced ice in Acts 2:38, would better be translated because of instead of F-O-R, for. You just need to look that up in the Greek. Now, what I think this man had no idea was that even though I'd only been a Christian a year, year and a half, I owned a Greek lexicon. I had one in my library. I could go look it up. And I did. And it said no such thing. And I've looked for 40 years, and I've never found the Greek lexicon dictionary that says that. I've never found anything remotely like that by any Greek scholar ever. You just find people glibly pointing out, well, it's the outside of the inward grace. Well, where's that verse? It's not standard manual Baptist churches. Well, four ought to be translated because of. Why? Because I say so. That's all that is. So this man's experiencing the exact same thing that I did. People just saying, well, that's what it means. And then not caring, or maybe worse, knowing they can't defend this. You know, they're not actually looking it up. Well, I did. And here's exactly what I found on page 186. It starts, after the first blank line there, the preposition for, ice, in Acts 2.38 was translated from the Greek ice. There's Greek lexicon definition. Quote, into, unto, towards, entrance into, denotes direction. Ice occurs 1,493 times in the New Testament. Ice is translated in the King James Version in the following ways and in the number of occurrences, and now he makes the list. In the King James Version, into 571 times, to 282 times, unto 280. You can read the list yourself. But look at the paragraph at the top of 187. Mark it, highlight it somehow. The Greek preposition ice is never translated because of in the New Testament. And it's used 1,493 times. You'd think if it ever meant that, maybe once it would show up that way. But it doesn't, because it doesn't mean that. Never has, never will. Any attempt, he continues in that paragraph, to make the word ice mean because of is therefore false. Such a translation and or interpretation cannot be supported with accurate, responsible, truthful study of the Greek language. the test of this truth can be extrapolated from Matthew 26:28. Brethren, I am begging you to remember what he is about to tell you. It is phenomenally important. It is profoundly powerful. It is not hard to remember. If you will take people who make this argument to Matthew 26:28 and explain to them what he does here on this page, it will bug the eyes out of their heads. So he says, this can be extrapolated from Matthew 26:28. It's in the identity italicized words there. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many because sins have already been forgiven. Right? Hardly. But word for word, brethren, and letter for letter, it is the identical same phrase in Matthew 26:28 that you have in Acts 2:38. If it ought to be because of sins are already forgiven in Acts 2:38, be baptized because you're already forgiven, then Jesus died because sins had already been forgiven. Does that sound any kind of right to you? If Jesus died because of the forgiveness of sins, then his death was utterly unnecessary. If they are right about this argument in Acts 2:38, the only other place in the New Testament where letter for letter you have the identical same expression, there ought to be because of over there too. And if the idea of their inserting because of is to avoid the idea that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins, and rewrite the Bible so that instead baptism is because sins are already forgiven, then let it be so in Matthew 26:28. This is something to remember. So you can say to your friends, okay, you think it means this in Acts 2:38. Here is the identical expression in Matthew 26:28. Do you think it means that there? And they've got something to think about. They've got a moral problem, an honesty problem. They've got lots of problems about telling God that they will not believe what he says. Now, brethren, 1,493 times, look at the last definition at the, got to find this now. It is the last definition. On page 186, where he began the definition, after the first blank line, the preposition for in Acts 2:38 was translated from the Greek ice. There's Greek lexicon, so here it is in a Greek lexicon, quoting the definition. Into, unto, towards, entrance into, note the last expression, denotes direction. What this word has always meant in Greek is that you have movement of some kind that is headed in a single direction, and you are passing from here to there. You are moving from one state, condition, position to another state, condition, or position. What this word has always meant is unto, into, towards, for, in order to. It is always making a move, a step from one place to the other, every place you ever see it, 1,493 times. They're saying not so. It means because of. Get baptized because sins are already forgiven. What it says is, be baptized into, toward, in order to, for the purpose of, to acquire this state or condition, the remission of sins. Remission means to buy back. In most translations today, you'll have forgive, which is perfectly fine. It is to move from a state of non-forgiveness, of guilt, to forgiveness. This is what, brethren, it has always meant. So, if you look at the bottom now, page 187, where it says conclusion in the bold capital letters, Matthew 26:28 and Acts 2:38 possess the identical Greek phrase. Applying the because of translation, Acts 2:38 mandates that the translator also apply it in Matthew 26:28. The absurdity of the argument becomes clear because the argument makes Christ's death on the cross unnecessary and futile. Now, brethren, please understand, most people have no idea the consequences of the doctrines they believe.
They certainly don't want to make Christ's death unnecessary or futile. They just want to make baptism unnecessary and futile. And so the consequences of this backing up into the very sacrifice of Christ, they've never contemplated.
Help them to contemplate. Help them to think about the things they say and the consequences that follow when one begins to deny your Bible so as to rewrite it. Now, I'm quite surprised that in these chapters, the best argument in favor of because of, he does not mention.
I suppose it's simply because it wasn't handed to him 25 years ago. I'm surprised because it's used a lot, you know. So be aware that they will respond with, "You're wrong, Larry," 1,492 times. It means moving in one direction like that. But, 1,491. But there are two places where it means because of. Acts 2:38 and Matthew
12:41. So everybody now open your Bibles. It won't be in the book. Turn to Matthew's Gospel and to chapter 12. There's a larger context there, but it really doesn't matter. All we need is the one expression in verse 41. You know, I think you'll know the context anyway, but verse 41 is where they go to try and say that the Greek word ice, which appears in that verse, ought to be translated because of, even though it isn't in anybody's translation. So they're trying to buttress their argument in Acts 2:38 with this verse, Matthew 12:41. "The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment, and shall condemn it because they repented at." The Greek word ice is translated here at, in the New American Standard, "at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, something greater than Jonah is here." So in a desperate bid, in the face of 1,491, you know, other clear translations or definitions, they come here and they say, well, what this means, of course, is that the men of Nineveh will stand up in this generation and condemn it because they repented because of the preaching of Jonah. Did they not repent because of the preaching of Jonah? It was because of the preaching of Jonah that they repented. So clearly the word ice means because of there, does it not? Now, that's a great argument, brethren. It really is. It's one of the few you'll get from the denominational world that really is a good argument. It deserves a second look. Yes, they repented because of the preaching of Jonah. I mean, yeah, you know, that's obviously so. But looking at 1,491 other occurrences right here, we ask ourselves, should we this one time, and then again in Acts 2:38, put in this translation because of, strip the word of its directional idea, take away from it moving from one state to another, and you know, do it only twice? Should we do this? Or is it possible that we in our English thinking mind have substituted because of in the place of for because we do that in our language, but they don't do that in theirs? That's an equally valid question. Now, brethren, you just want to ask yourself, is there a way to translate this verse that is consistent with the universal definition in 1,491 other places? They repented into the preaching of Jonah. Can you repent into the preaching? Could you move from the state or condition of not doing what he preached into doing what he preached? Could ice be translated the same way it is in 1,491 other places as meaning they repented, they changed their minds into not that anymore, but this? They changed it into what he said. They agreed. And so they moved from not doing what he says to doing what he says. Of course. And that obviously is what it means. And it resolves our dilemma. The word can mean what it says all nearly 1,500 times. But that's a great argument. So be ready for it. The first blush, I know this one knocked me off my feet the first time somebody threw that at me. It really did. Yeah, they preached. Yeah, I mean, they repented of the preaching of Jonah. So I don't know what to do with that. I didn't know what to do with that. Except to go study that. And then it hits me. Oh, I see what you're doing here. You're twisting a word in the one place you could, Matthew 12:41,
because in English we equate these two ideas, but they didn't in Greek. And you can stay with the consistent definition of all the Greek lexicons by translating "they repented" into "the preaching of Jonah" at in the New American Standard.
So that's an important one, brethren. Get ready for that, as it does, you know, it sounds, you know, really strong first time you get it. Now, let's close our sermon tonight with pages 188 and 189, just so you see the title of the book right there. And I'm just going to read midway in 188, first or second paragraph, I guess, after the blank line there where you have the bold print. Larry gave me copies of his research, left shortly thereafter, no marathon discussions tonight. So he gave him the stuff you saw in the earlier pages. I sat on the couch. The local Nashville news played on our TV in the background, but I was lost in thought. Questions formed in my mind. Why didn't more people know these things? Why were people so careless with the Bible? Why didn't people study the Bible like their eternal souls depended on it? Which, of course, it does. And then it hit me. Studying the Bible requires hard work. It takes self-discipline and due diligence. It requires prayerful consideration of the text you're reading along with the remote text of the other books, he means the other Bible books. Reading the Bible is not a casual read like reading a paperback novel or the daily paper. The Bible is a rich, deep, literary, living gold mine filled with everything that mankind needs for our life, eternal life. Studying and understanding the Bible isn't for the lazy. Studying the Bible requires muscle and a shovel, mental muscle, and a willingness to use honest intelligence, the metaphorical shovel, to dig deep beyond all of our preconceived ideas, our false beliefs, our comfortable traditions. Studying the Bible takes muscle and a shovel. Now, brethren, whose muscle? Whose shovel? Really easy to say. They, you know, ought to dig deep. They ought to know better. And I'm going to tell you, you believe me. Brother, should anybody believe anything because you say it? What did I spend all this lesson teaching tonight? Should anybody believe anything because somebody says it? The only thing you're going to believe is what God says. Get out the shovel. Start working the old muscles. Let's be digging in our Bibles. We're going to ask everybody else to do this. You know how important it is that we not prove ourselves hypocrites. You need to be doing this too. There's a time or two, brethren, that you might have just bought into something that I said. And I may have said it absolutely honestly. I never met Hiscox. Curse me now. I think he wrote the book actually in 1707. I think it was even earlier than I thought. I think it was 1700s, brethren. He might have been as honest as the day is long, but he was as wrong as Paul was when he was honest about persecuting Christians because he thought he was supposed to. So, take these two chapters. Remember Matthew 26, verse 28. Probably should write it in the margin right next to Acts 2:38. S-E-E, Matthew 26, 28. Matthew 26, 28, you write in the margin. S-E-E, Acts 2:38. Only places this phrase occurs in this identical manner in all the New Testament. Does it mean because of in either one of them? Absolutely not. In any Greek scholar's dictionary, definition, or understanding of the word ice. It means that you're moving from a state or condition that is apart from and outside the remission of sins toward, into, unto, or the purpose of acquiring the remission of sins. Do we get into here tonight and think that that's all you need so we should start baptizing babies? No. It takes muscle and a shovel for you to understand the gospel plan, God's salvation, so that you might decide with full conscious knowledge whether or not you would choose to commit to the life that it requires. If you have not yet made that commitment, we're encouraging you to do so. Asking you only to flex your muscles, use your shovel, and start digging together. If we can help.